Well, I wonder how your understanding of food is. I mean, Carrie asked that question at the beginning. What comes from Sainsbury's? Well, I want to know this question. Well, where do Cheerios come from? Here is a picture of my son. He absolutely loves Cheerios. I'm very grateful for the company who make it. But I was fascinated to know, well, who makes Cheerios? How do they do it? And why? So I picked up the box, and you can clearly see on the box it says Nestle. Now, for a stupid person like myself, that was quite useful to have it clearly branded so I knew who made Cheerios. It's Nestle. But then I was really interested to know, well, how do they do that? How do Nestle make Cheerios? So apparently you get some whole grain oats and you chuck it in with some sugar and some salt and some corn starch and some vitamins and a bit of milk and you get Cheerios. That's basically what I got from the box. So we've got the who, we've got the how, but what about the why? Why do they make Cheerios? Well, it's quite simple. They want to make some money. But it's also because they want to satisfy the need of hungry people. I'm very grateful that they make Cheerios because it's something my son will actually eat. So I'm very grateful for that. But then I got really interested in, well, what about bread? Why do people make bread? Well, who makes it? Well, it's a baker, isn't it? A baker makes bread. And how do they know? How do they do it? Well, they do it with some flour and some yeast and a bit of salt and some water. And then you've got to knead it all together, haven't you? And then you prove it for at least half an hour. And even that's really not enough. The bake-off has taught me something. Half an hour is not enough. And then you chuck it in the oven for about an hour. And then eventually you come up with some tasty bread. So who? It's the baker. The how? That long list of things we just looked at. And the why? Well, it's to satisfy those who really, really want a sandwich. It's that simple. Who, how, and why? And our true story from the Bible this morning, God's Word, well, that was all about Jesus feeding lots of people. And we're told at the end of the story that they were all satisfied. They were all full. But I wonder if we understand what was really going on during that feeding. Well, to help us in our understanding, I figured it'd be good to use those same three questions. Who, how, and a little bit later, why. Who, how, and why. So here's the first one. It's the who. In Mark chapter 8, well, who fed all those people? Well, it's quite simple, really. The hero of the Bible is Jesus. And so there is the who. We're told that Jesus was surrounded by a very large crowd. They'd been with him for about 3 days in a random place. Well, not random. In a place that wasn't a normal place to be. And they're now really hungry. They've got nothing to eat. They're a long way from home. And so Jesus, he lovingly wants to help them. He sees there's a need. There's a hunger. And so Jesus asks his disciples, well, how many loaves of bread do we have? Does anyone remember? Yes. 7. Brilliant. Yes, it was quite an easy question, but there was at least 2 people listening, so that was good. There were 7 loaves of bread. Well, I want us to understand the problem this morning. So around the church, underneath chairs, there are 7 bread rolls. Can you see if you can find 7 bread rolls and bring them up to the front? I'm slightly concerned that people have eaten the bread rolls. There are none yet. Oh, dear. I'm not that good at hiding stuff. There's definitely 4 in the middle. There's definitely 2 that side. And there's definitely 2 that side. And I can't remember where the other one is. But they're definitely under the chairs. Unless someone's really hungry. Yes, we've got one. Yes, I'm not a fool. Amazing. Britt, do you want to come hold it up here? Well done, Martha. Excellent. One is better than none. Any other bread rolls, then they shouldn't be stuck. They should just be on the little ledges. Yeah, no, underneath. Underneath. Always underneath. This is going brilliantly. Oh, we've got another one. Oh, we've got two more. This is much better now. Brilliant. Well, if you found one, bring it up, and then if we haven't got seven, that's not the end of the story. That's fine. Brilliant. Well done, everyone. Come stand over here. Great. How many bread rolls do we have? Six. Excellent. And there's one more out there, so we do have seven. Now tell me, would these six, slash the one that's out there, seven, would these seven bread rolls feed every single person in this room? No? Oh. Okay. What if we had some fish to go with it? Would those bread rolls and a few bits of fish feed all these people? Okay. We have a massive issue, other than the fact it's probably stale bread. Well, do you think these seven loaves will maybe feed 4,000 people? Oh. Well, can you see the issue? It's quite a big issue. Thank you very much. If you put these bread rolls up on here and then go grab your seats again, thank you for finding them for me. That's great. Well, unfortunately, of course, seven bread rolls would not feed that many people. It wouldn't even feed me if I was really hungry. So it just doesn't work, does it? But what Jesus did was truly amazing that day. And it's all because of who he is. You see, the first sentence of Mark's gospel, this eyewitness account about Jesus, tells us who Jesus is. It'll be up on the screen. It says, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. That's who Jesus, Mark claims, Jesus is. And he says he's the Messiah. Now, the Old Testament teaches us that this Messiah simply means that it is God's all-powerful rescuing king. The Messiah means God's all-powerful rescuing king. That God was going to send his own son, the king, who is really strong and really powerful. And he would rescue those in need. Now, we have a queen in this country, and don't get me wrong, I really like the queen. She's very cute as an old dear, isn't she? But she's not really that powerful, though, is she, really? I mean, she's there to put her name on stuff. Like this ship up on the left here, this massive aircraft carrier is called the Queen Elizabeth Aircraft Carrier. Now, I mean, that's really powerful. Forget the Queen. It's this ship that's awesome. It carries 36 stealth fighter jets. It costs over £6 billion. It will be the second largest aircraft carrier ever made. That is really powerful. But what about God's king? Is he as powerful as this? Good answer. Yes. Is King Jesus just someone to look at from afar? Is he just someone else that we just kind of think about every now and again, who doesn't make much difference? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, no. This king matters. And it's because he has power running through his veins. In Psalm 2 in the Old Testament, it tells us that God's king is God's, he's so powerful that he could smash this aircraft carrier in an instant if he wanted to. Say, for instance, that this mug under here is the aircraft carrier. It's a rather simple mug, really. Good, strong mug. But if God's king really wanted to show us how powerful he was, he could very easily come along and just do this. God's king is so powerful, if he wanted to, he could smash this aircraft carrier and anything else if he wanted to. And because of who Jesus is, it also tells us how he is able to do this amazing miracle in Mark chapter 8. Jesus is so powerful, he's able to feed all 4,000 people with 7 loaves and a few bits of fish. That's what Mark tells us in this eyewitness account that you can trust. Now hang on a minute, Jono. You've literally got to be bonkers to be able to think that a guy who lived 2,000 years ago could actually do something like this. That may be a question you're asking. That is utterly ridiculous to read the Bible and say that's true. Well, let's just think about that for a moment. Maybe we could do some myth busting. I mean, maybe the fish that Jesus had were just massive fish, like the one that gobbled up Jonah, and could easily feed 4,000 people. I mean, maybe that's it. Maybe they just chucked that on the barbecue and they had a great time. Maybe that's what they did. Well, that doesn't quite sound right, does it? And maybe they all just had a secret lunch on them. Maybe all 4,000 people just had a sandwich under their coat, and then when Jesus and the disciples and the eyewitnesses weren't looking, they were just like, well, that doesn't make much sense either. That'd be ridiculous. Well, I wouldn't care for a story like that. Or maybe, just maybe, the truth is actually what's written down in God's word. That Jesus really is that powerful. That he really is God's powerful rescuing king. Maybe Jesus really is God's son. Now that surely would make much more sense, wouldn't it? Why else would Mark spend most of his life trying to write this stuff down for us and show us who Jesus is? That Jesus really is God's all-powerful rescuing king who can fill the bellies of 4,000 people with just a few bits of bread and a couple of bits of fish. And to be honest, we shouldn't really be surprised by this. In Mark's gospel, this is the second time Jesus has done this sort of miracle of feeding a massive crowd with just a bit of bread. Because Mark is trying to get us to see, Jesus wants us to understand who he is. He wants us to understand how much power he has got. And when you understand that, when you see what happened, you see that Jesus satisfied every single person who was there that morning. All 4,000 people had satisfied tummies. And it's all because Jesus is the all-powerful rescuing king. Well, so who is Jesus? He is God's all-powerful rescuing king. How is he able to feed 4,000 people? Well, it's because he's God's all-powerful rescuing king. Are you getting the hint of where we're going with this? But we haven't actually answered the why question. Why would God's all-powerful rescuing king, why would he feed those people? What did he want them to understand? And why does it matter for us sitting here today, all these years later? Well, I wonder if you can remember all the way back to the beginning of the story, when Jesus looks at the people, at the massive crowd, he says a very important sentence. He says, "I have compassion on these people." Now, compassion simply means being really kind and really loving towards someone. King Jesus wanted to help these people because he was really kind and really loving. God sends his powerful rescuing king to serve the people in their physical need. Now that's great, isn't it? That's great that someone so powerful wants to help someone in need because they're really kind and really loving. That's really nice when someone's nice to us, isn't it? But actually, what's the point? Why does it matter for us today that Jesus was really nice 2,000 years ago? Well, actually, it's really good news because Jesus has compassion for each and every one of us. Jesus doesn't just provide us with our daily needs of food. In fact, the next part of the bit that we just have read to us from Mark's Gospel, Jesus says, "Do you understand yet?" Jesus wants us to have open eyes and open ears so that we see and hear who he really is. He wants us to see that he is the all-powerful rescuing king. And he does it in a way that you and I need it the most, by rescuing us. You see, we're in desperate need of needing rescue. See, we desperately try and satisfy ourselves with stuff, but it's not filling our need. We try and satisfy ourselves with loads of stuff and having security and having loads of friends and family, being comfortable, but it never really satisfies. You always want the next thing. You always want a better husband or wife. Trust me, Gemma tells me every day. Our joy and our satisfaction is not in God. But because King Jesus is powerful, because King Jesus wants to rescue us, and the Bible tells us why. Jesus came to show us that you and I can have true satisfaction, true joy, by knowing this King. He hasn't come to serve us food. He's not come to give us more stuff. He's come to fill a deeper need. So do you understand that the powerful rescuing King Jesus came to rescue us by dying in our place, to give us eternal life when we put our trust in him and believe in him? That's how God's King really shows how powerful he is. It's in the cross and in the resurrection when we see God at work. On the cross, he shows us how much love and compassion and kindness he has for us by dying in our place. It's through the resurrection that we see his power, because death could not hold God's King down. He's alive, even today. And just like those who had lunch with him that day left satisfied, well, when you understand who Jesus is, when you get to know him for yourself, when you put your trust in God's all-powerful rescuing King, you too will be satisfied. You too will know true joy. So what is it that satisfies you the most? What is it that brings you happiness? Well, the Bible tells us that true joy, true satisfaction can only come from one man. Who? It's King Jesus. How? It's because he's God's all-powerful rescuing King. And why? Because he is compassionate and kind, and he wants to rescue us. And so really, there's only one question for you to take away today. One question. It's the biggest question you could ever ask yourself. It's the question that Jesus asked at the end of this reading that we just had. Do you still not understand who Jesus is? Let's pray as we close. Awesome Father, we thank and praise you for this true story in the Bible. We thank you that we're told of how amazing your Son, King Jesus, really is. We thank you that he is powerful. We thank you that he came to rescue us because he loves us. Help all of us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen.